So that's clear. Okay. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Chavis al Vavis, Shal Yichud HaMaisa, Perek Hei. Again, Achim Tireh. We began the discussion yesterday of Nazir, the sugis about Nazir, bring out the point that Precious is something commendable and that Precious is something not commendable. There are sugis that seem to disparage the Nazir. There are sugis that praise the Nazir. So we began discussing the subject yesterday, and we got into this in the context of the Chavetz Chaim is talking about, yes, adding things to your avoida in excess of the basic chiyuv of the basic chiyuv. So, first of all, I just want to stress that the discussion is not necessarily connected to our discussion, because let's break it into three things. There's precious, which means abstaining from pleasures. That's not necessarily what he's talking about here. That's a whole separate shar. And that's the sugya of nazir, abstaining from pleasures, taking measures to minimize your pleasure. And that is a complex sugya that has to be properly understood. If it's done in the wrong way, it can be detrimental for your ruchnius or for your gashmius in a way that will affect your ruchnius detrimentally. If it's done in the right way, it can facilitate your ruchnius. And sometimes it will simply be a natural effect of a person growing in his ruchnius. I'll give a simple example. This is like a very, a very simplistic example, which will give more insight into other cases. But like, let's say, for example, there's never a purpose in just suppressing your hana'ah for its own sake. I shouldn't say never. I should say that in a general way, for its own sake, I should have less hana'ah. There are a few purposes that it could serve. First of all, precious, when it's done as an exercise, a training exercise of telling myself no, then it's something recommended. This is something that you'll do carefully, but you know, I should start the other way around. What's the problem with precious when it's done wrong? The problem with precious when it's done wrong is that in a technical sense, it won't make you a more productive Oved Hashem. The Kuzari talks about this. If you go about precious in the wrong way, you just decide, okay, I've read enough stories about great Mekubalim, and I know that the way to truly grow in Oved Hashem is by fasting, by putting extra salt in the foods that in sweet foods, and by putting no salt in the foods that need it, no kinds of things like that. The Kuzari says, where will that get you? You'll become depressed. You'll become uptight. You won't be productive. You won't be able. Now, Yiddishkeit expects a person to be operating on a number of fronts, happily, productively, with a clear mind. Just take learning Torah. If a person is physically deprived, his needs are not being met, he's depressed, he's down, he's uptight, not going to learn well, not going to have a clear mind. And certainly, when we're talking about people who are raising families, as a father, you don't want to be a depressed, uptight person. As a husband also. Mela, if we believed in becoming a monk and going out into the mountains and living on your own, no, you can be depressed and uptight. It won't hurt anybody. It won't get you anywhere, but it won't hurt anybody. But this is not what Yiddishkeit wants of us. So, therefore, if we're meant to be leading productive lives on a number of fronts, you have to be living in a comfortable way. So where does precious come into play? So again, we're talking about, for us, in the standard package of avodas Hashem and growth, it can come into play in a number of ways. It can come into play as a very important exercise in telling yourself no. While we say that precious, in the way that we just described, is detrimental, indulging all of your gashmi's dicker urges and desires all the time is equally detrimental. You don't want to be doing that either. Because when a person gets into a lifestyle of, as long as it's kosher, whenever I feel like it, I do it, You become a person who does not have the ability to say no when you need to say no. Besides just the fact that Hashem does not want a person who lives subject to his physical urges. That's what Ramban says is kedushim tiyu. You don't live in such a way where you're controlled. It's a lower person. It's a person who's living as an intelligent beast rather than a neshama that controls a body. When a person is controlled by his urges, and therefore, it's an end in itself, and it's also important for even just keeping halacha to know how to tell yourself no when you need to. And this is relevant to many areas, right? When it comes to food. Food is always the first example we think of when we talk about preachers, even though it doesn't really have to be. We'll see in the Chavis of this later. We'll mention that now too. When it comes to food, if a person is used to the idea that, look, there's a lot of kosher goods out there, I can have whatever I want. There will be situations where you have to tell yourself no, but if you have absolutely no training in that area, you won't be able to do it when it comes down to it. A person who's completely not used to telling himself no will run into problems when he does come up against being in a place where the kashrus is taka compromised, and he really does have to tell himself no and abstain. So there's a purpose in precious as an exercise, as a part of your spiritual regimen, as an exercise. Doesn't mean that you're never going to eat anything tasty. What it means is you're going to practice. You have a certain regimen of practicing telling yourself no. Doesn't have to be all the time, but you want to have those spiritual muscles functioning to be able to tell yourself no when you need to. And if you haven't told yourself no in the last 3 months, it's going to be hard to if you suddenly have to. You know, this is also relevant, perhaps even more relevant. When he talks about preachers, he says you start with speech. Everyone jumps straight to food. Generally, when we talk about preachers, you think of food. But Chavis says, start with speech. One of the big challenges of Lashon Hara is that we are, you know, Lashon Hara is a constantly discussed subject among the conscientious. And people struggle with it, struggle with it, struggle with it. One of the big challenges is the fact that we are not accustomed to not saying something when we have something to say. Meaning, any thought that rolls into the head rolls out. There's no reason not to say it, I say it. If we're used to always indulging the urge to talk, and all of a sudden when you're hit with a time when you shouldn't say something, it's very difficult to hold it back. You know, there are springs in your mouth and things are being catapulted automatically outward. And that's where it becomes difficult. That's where it becomes a challenge. And therefore, there's a lot of value to an exercise of simply abstaining from speech, permitted speech. When it's kosher, parav speech. My Miller used to quote the Gemara in Kiddushin. You go off and just like to bemoan where we're holding today, that says that a siman of a family's yichus is whether it's a quiet or not. They talk too much, you got a problem with their yichus. Okay, so that's complicated today, but it's a very valuable exercise that, say, once a day or whatever it is, I am practicing not speaking when I have something to say. That's something interesting that comes up. I want to share it. Don't abstain from speech when it's speech that's going to be chesed. Right? Don't abstain from speech when you have a good word to say to someone in your family, etc. But when there's just something part of it that comes up, you would share it because we like to share things that we've seen or whatever it is, points of interest. If you can do practice here of not speaking, so again, you are developing spiritual muscles, and it will come more natural to you when it's time not to say something. So this is one area where Precious finds a place in our practical avoid on our level. Again, we're not talking about an all-encompassing Precious. We're not talking about cutting hanos out of your life. We're talking about having a certain regimen of exercise, telling myself no. There's another area of Precious, which, and here I'll give a simplistic example, which really manifests in much more fine and subtle examples. But just a simple example. Here you have a fellow who Sunday afternoon is dedicated to watching the football game. Okay? Sunday afternoon is dedicated to watching the football game. It's a hanah that he has. And He does it. Fine. Now, this person, as of late, has become more inspired. He's discovered the concept of serious learning. He's getting more into it. Slowly building up a learning schedule. Has chavrusas, has shiurim. And he's really enjoying himself. He's growing more in his learning. And he's really getting into it. And now he's already at a point where, because he enjoys his learning, he's looking for more opportunity to learn. And all of a sudden he realizes, hey, I have, how long is a football game? Is it 3 hours? But let's call it 3 hours. Hey, there's a potential 3 hours there that I could really fill well. And here he decides, you know what? He reaches a point where, in the beginning, I can't give up his football game. But as he's growing, his enjoyment in his learning is growing. He feels like, I'd like to have those 3 hours. And he knocks the football game off his schedule. This is not a person who decides, I have to suppress my urges. This is a person who reached a place of ruchnius where he's replacing this hana for more refined hana. He's replacing hana for hana. It's just a better hana, right? If you think about it, a lot of the examples of preachers you see by great people, in a large way, is this, just could be on subtler levels, where they're moving things out of the way to make way for different avenues of growth that can go further, that they're enjoying. It's not bringing them to a place of feeling deprived and pious, but it's bringing them to a place of, now I have more room to feel even more of that fulfillment that I enjoy even more than that pleasure. So what did they do? They replaced one hana for another hana. Now, if so, you say, so it's not altruistic, it's selfish. On the contrary, we are here. I shouldn't say we're here for, but a very, very part of our ruchnius dekatzlocha is the more of a tam, the more of a hana we can develop in ruchnius. We are beginning to connect to the ultimate purpose in this world, beginning to connect to Olam Haba in this world. We're not meant to just be serving Hashem altruistically without any sense of gratification and fulfillment. Part of our appreciation of our value of our ruchnius is the fact that we can actually enjoy it, that we can connect to it, and it's not considered a chisaron. That's the famous Eglei Tal when it comes to learning Torah, right? The famous Eglei Tal where he talks about the people think that once you start enjoying the learning, so it's compromising your lishma. He says, no. Mamish, the opposite. It's bringing the mitzvah to its ultimate. But this is true for many other areas of Avodah also. There's the famous mashal of the Dubna Magid. You know, the mashal of the Dubna Magid says, the pasuk says, Ki lo oisi karasa Yaakov ki ogata bi Yisrael. I think that's the lashon of the pasuk, right? You have not been calling upon me correctly, even though you've been toiling for me, Yisrael. So the Dubna Magid said, what this pasuk means is as follows. He gives a mashal like this. He says, you had the porters. There were porters who used to wait at the train station or at the dock, waiting for rich travelers to disembark. And then they would offer to schlep their things home for a fee, right? So here you have a porter who's waiting at the train station, and Taki sees the gvir of the neighborhood gets off the train. He walks over to him, he says, can I bring home your packages? And he says, yeah. It's in the all the way in the front corner of the first car. Go get it, bring it to my house, I'll pay you. The porter goes, finds a package in that car in the front corner, very heavy, schleps it home, and he's mamish wrestling it through the streets. Finally, he gets to the Gvir's house, he's panting, he's sweating, he comes into the Gvir's study, he's ready to collect, and he's breathless, and he says, I schlepped your box home, and I want my money. The Gvir says, I'm not paying you anything. He says, why not? He says, you bought the wrong package. He said, I didn't even see what I bought. How do you know it's the wrong package? He says, because you're panting and sweating. I had an envelope there. I didn't have a big box. You got the wrong package. So Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, this is a tough point, but this is a point that deserves a lot of attention. If you're panting and sweating, if you're groaning and kvetching piously because of your sacrifice for me, you missed something. You haven't connected with the right address. You haven't really been reaching out to me. Now, we have to understand that this is what we call, this is lefia inyan, meaning a person gets chayav for any mitzvah he does. But we're saying, this is not the ultimate connection with Hashem. The ultimate connection with Hashem is not to be serving him as a suffering, pious Jew who knows that this world is about sacrificing for Hashem, and then you get the reward in the next world. The true connection with Hashem is a connection that brings a person a sense of fulfillment, a sense of gratification, a sense of happiness. Now, this will turn into a problem if we start beating ourselves over the head with guilt, because, hey, sometimes I find it hard. We are setting up a ladder here. We're setting up a ladder here. If a person sacrifices for Hashem, knowing he's doing the right thing, and he finds it hard, he's getting a lot of schar for that. He's getting a lot of schar for that. But we're talking about setting certain goals, understanding what we're aiming for. We want to reach a place where ultimately we are enjoying the things that we're doing for Hashem. Sometimes that requires tweaking the perspective. You have to know the Hashem that you're dealing with. If the Olam HaZeh is about avoiding Gehenim, if your relationship with Hashem is about avoiding Gehenim, it's very hard to enjoy that, right? But if you appreciate the privilege of serving Hashem, if you develop a proper appreciation of that, an appreciation of Hashem's love for you, you can actually feel pleasure in the fact that you have the chance to connect with Him through your service. So that's another aspect of precious. Precious that comes from moving coarser hanais out of the way in order to make way for more refined ones, for higher level ones. I am refining and sophisticating, is that a verb? My level of hana'a. Okay, it's still in mid-sentence here, but that'll do for tonight. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael.